Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "Fear no one, for nothing is covered up that will not be uncovered, and nothing secret that will not become known. What I say to you in the dark, tell in the light. And what you hear whispered, proclaim from the housetops. Do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet no one of them will fall to the ground apart from my Father. Yet even the hairs of your head are all counted. So do not be afraid. You are more valuable of that many sparrows. If anyone therefore who acknowledge me before humans, I also will acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before humans, I also will deny before my Father in heaven." The Gospel of the Lord.
Summer days are longer and hotter, and therefore the sermons are shorter. So we're on our summer schedule now. The Gospel of Matthew has five great discourses or sermons that Jesus preached. We don't know if our Lord said everything that Matthew indicates for us at those particular times, or if St. Matthew is adding certain portions that Jesus may have said at other moments around that same period. But we have five discourses. The first of these is the Sermon on the Mount. And the Sermon on the Mount, which covers some four chapters in Matthew's Gospel, is the Magna Carta of the Christian life. It explains, it presents to us how a Christian is meant to live as a moral person, as a child of God. Living in the truth, living in goodness, living with respect and love for one's fellow men and women. The second of these is about discipleship and witness or testimony. And that's the discourse from which today's gospel is taken. Jesus is about to send his disciples out to preach in towns and villages. He's sending some of them onward to places that he has not yet visited. And he's sending others back to towns through which he has already passed. So in those towns, he wants the disciples to remind the people of his teachings, to make sure that the good seed is growing, and to tell them about his later teachings and the miracles that have happened since he was there. In the new towns, they go to prepare his way, to speak about him, and also, perhaps, in order to correct any false impressions that have traveled by word of mouth or rumor, since there was no press or media or way of communicating clearly and directly. The disciples are excited about this mission, but they're also afraid. They're nervous about their own abilities, and they realize that they are going out into situations that may be dangerous for them. The Pharisees and the scribes are opposed to Jesus' teaching. There are people in villages and towns who are Samaritan, pagans, and so they don't want to hear of this new holy man. And there are always the Roman authorities to be concerned about. So the apostles are afraid for their lives. And so Jesus speaks to them about their fears. That's what this passage is. And he warns them against irrational fears. And the way he does that is he says to them, everyone dies. We are in this world only for a short time. Don't worry so much about the life of the body. Worry about the life of your soul. And remember, you must be faithful to me. On this, your eternal salvation depends. Now that's something very completely new and unexpected. Jesus is saying their loyalty to him is what's going to determine God's attitude toward them. Everyone, therefore, who acknowledges me, well, today's unhappy translation says before humans. That's because the translators are trying to be non-sexist. I don't know what the alternative is to humans, Martians, vampires. I'm not sure who they might be speaking to. So, with apologies to the ladies, let me turn it back into something that's a little bit more intelligible. Everyone, therefore, who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I also will deny before my Father in heaven. Do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Now we might wonder about those words. Is Jesus speaking about the devil destroying our souls in hell? Many scripture scholars actually say, no, he's speaking about God. He's reminding the disciples that we have to have a holy fear of God. We have to remember that God is the ultimate judge, and we don't fool around with what he has said. He is a loving God. That's why Jesus goes on to say, he knows all the hairs of your head. He cares for you more than many sparrows. You are of more value to him because he is your Father. So he wants the disciples to trust God's love and God's goodness, but he also wants to impress upon them who he is. He who stands with me, I will stand beside. He who denies me, I will deny. This is one of the ways that Jesus is indicating that he is Son of God and God himself. And he does this step by step. Now, what does this mean for us today? Well, the same truths that our Lord is expressing here are true for us. We too, all of us, not just us on this side of the communion rail, you, all of us as baptized people, we must be loyal and faithful to Christ. And that means that in the challenges of life, we need to identify ourselves as Christian, as disciples of Christ. That might not seem to be politically correct. Sometimes it certainly isn't. But we cannot deny him. There may be professions and circumstances in which those we work with don't know anything about us, don't know anything about our families or our faith, and that may be appropriate. But there are other times and other circumstances when we must speak and act from that deep place of truth within us. We can't afford not to. A book was published about 15 years ago that was very fascinating, and I recommend it to you. It was called The Martyrs of the 20th Century, written by a professor in the United States named Robert Royal. You can still get it online from Amazon or other bookstores. And in that, Dr. Royal set out the history of the church, and we understand the history of the Catholic Church is a history of martyrs. From the first martyrs of the catacombs whose names were treasured and repeated by the earliest Christians, even to the present day. But what Dr. Royal points out is that in the 20th century, the 1900s, which we have just concluded, there were more martyrs, more men and women who died explicitly because they were Christian or Catholic, than in all the preceding centuries added together. martyrs under communism, fascism, Nazism, and other persecutions. And we have only to look at the pages of our own newspapers or turn on the television set to hear week by week, in the midst of other terrorist attacks, of the deaths of persons precisely because they are Christian, they are Catholic. So we are living in an age of martyrs, and although we are citizens of a free and beautiful country, the world in which we live is not a safe place. And Christ lays down to us the same challenge. In fact, in the Catechism of the Catholic Church, and for those of you that still aren't familiar with this, this book that I refer to often, The Catechism of the Catholic Church, this is not a little textbook for your children or grandchildren who go to religion classes. The Catechism, called the CCC, is an official book of the Church that is the compendium, a summary, of all the things that we believe and practice as Catholics. It's a big book. You can buy it in paperback. You should have a copy. Your home should have a Catholic Bible and the Catholic Catechism. No exceptions. You can get it for $8.95. In the Catechism, we read these words: the disciple of Christ must not only keep the faith and live on it, but also profess it confidently and bear witness to it and spread it. All, however, must be prepared to confess Christ before men and to follow him along the way of the cross amidst the persecutions which the Church never lacks. Service of and witness to the faith are necessary for salvation. So it's not just a matter of being baptized or of receiving the last rites or of avoiding sin. You have to do something. You have to bear witness. So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven. And the teachings of the Catechism have numbers. That's number 1618. Now, as you hear me speak, perhaps some of you can already picture in your mind or hear the voice of someone whom you've run into, perhaps once, perhaps many times, who is religiously obnoxious. Have you ever met anyone like that? I have. Is that what I'm talking about? No. You have to be religiously fascinating, charming, draw people by your life. And sometimes you have to speak. You have to speak out. You have to speak loudly. It's a challenge. If you're not up to it, pray for it. And learn from the examples of the martyrs. Their lives are fascinating. Their lives are remarkable. Some 45 years ago, when I was a boy, there was a bumper sticker that was rather current at the time. It was a bit kitschy, but it made a point, and I've never forgotten it. It read, "If being Christian were a crime, would there be enough evidence to convict you?" If being Christian were a crime, would there be enough evidence to convict you? That's something we can think about. It's something we must think about because it's vitally important to our lives and the lives of those whom we love here and now and hope to be with for eternity. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.